Yo, it's the LRC. The podcast was a game, we be MVP. Knowledge is power, lend an ear for the next hour. And tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. Cause we the best, numero uno, we like the sumo. Up against the straw weight, our content's great. We talking sports, pop culture, the squared circle and all. You Shanky on the mic, mixed with Jinder Mahal. And we saw Paul Heyman's had enough that you could say.
Week 18, Living Room Champs, talking some full contact football here. The final week of the regular season for all these teams and all their players. But unfortunately, it looks like the Living Room Champs season is all wrapped up. Len is probably going to take it home. He finished week 17 with a 12-4 record, myself 8-8. That brings you, Len, to a record of 149-91. Very impressive. It might be a personal record of yours, actually. And that brings me to, what else can we say? Mid 138-102. Other than that, how you doing tonight, Len?
Glad to be at the finish line here for you and I for football season. You know, it's a long season, and quite frankly, both you and I get burned out at different parts of the season doing these games. And you know, there's a good chance this show will have a very different feel next year, or not exist at all, because the pick show. You know, it could go the way of the Tyrannosaurus Rex or something. You know what I mean? It could be done. Who knows?
Yeah, it's just not paying the bills, Len, right? It's just not paying the bills for us here, and we need a shot in the arm, maybe. So we'll see. But we got to finish strong here regardless.
Yeah, no doubt.
Week 18, there's just so many football games and between
a lot of games and a lot of implications, obviously.
Lots of implications for sure. The first one on the schedule, huge implications for the Stairway. Steelers.
Of course.
Steelers fresh off a big win in Northwest last week, Len. They took it right to your Seahawks, punched them right in the mouth, ran the ball right down their gullet. It was really, other than maybe that Minnesota game last week, one of the worst defensive performances I've ever seen all season. Quite honestly, they just running at will. You've said this isn't a surprise to you. The Seahawks are just not very good on defense. Boy, I wasn't really expecting them to be that poor.
No. I mean, that was an embarrassing effort by the defense at home in a game that was virtually must win. I mean, not must win, so to speak. Seattle still can get in, things like that. But I mean, that win there, you know, and a win this week would have they had their own destiny in their hands. So to just completely get blown off the ball, I mean, they were still in the game the whole way at the end until almost like something I would predict happened, and Geno got strip sacked to go down 10 double digits and put the game away. I mean, it's like I could call these games in my sleep, but I would not have predicted that the Steelers just mashed it down their throat when everybody knew they were going to come in trying to run the ball. Everybody knows, you know, that their offense is one of the worst in the league, despite, you know, showing signs of improvement under Mason Rudolph, don't get me wrong. I mean, you come in prepared to stop the run, and it was one of the worst tackling efforts I have ever seen in my life at the NFL level. And quite frankly, it looked like peewee football or midget football. I mean, all the guys going high, getting stiff arm to the ground. It's piss poor. I mean, piss poor effort by the Seahawks. And I just hope they lose again this week. Let's just get this fucking over with. This is embarrassing.
It's not good when Devin Bush leads your team with 17 tackles.
No, I mean, actually, he was probably the best player on the defense. I mean, he missed a few too, but he actually stopped a lot of those runs after they broke 14 other tackles. But yeah, he was the one that made the tackle eventually. So kudos to him. I mean, at least he did something.
Five solo tackles, 12 assists for former Steeler Devin Bush. Well, that brings us, the Steelers got a big game this week. They need a win and some help to get in. I don't know if they'll get it or not. They do look better under Rudolph. Let's see if that continues. They visit Baltimore, who locked up the number one seed. And somehow the Steelers are going to lose this game, I'm predicting, Len. I guess the Ravens, I'm going to say, maybe they play their starters a half, maybe. I don't know what the situation is going to be. But somehow the Steelers will find a way to lose this game on the road. I'm taking the Ravens.
I would assume that, I mean, if it were me, the Ravens starters would play no time, and particularly important guys like Lamar and, you know, guys that are injury prone like OBJ, things like that. I mean, I just don't know why you would play them. It means nothing at all. 1 week off isn't going to get you rusty. So to me, I would sit everybody, but they might play them a little bit. Hopefully it doesn't haunt them like the Dolphins playing Bradley Chubb down 30 with 3 minutes left when he tore his ACL. So I just think there's too much risk and no reward. So in my opinion, the Ravens will sit everybody. And then that being said, I still think the Ravens are going to win this game. I think they'll win it with backups because, you know, their backups are capable. The Steelers are riding high, but it's in Baltimore. They already beat Baltimore once this year. I just assume these teams split every year, and I think they'll split this year too. I just think the Ravens will win.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it. Backups kind of don't mean a lot in these games sometimes. And who is it, Huntley?
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers are basically playing backups. They have a third-string quarterback.
Right, too. And Huntley, right, the backup for Baltimore
is
not bad.
He's serviceable, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Baltimore wins this one somehow, and the Steelers finish with a mid-record. That's how it's going to be, people. All right, Len, Houston at Indianapolis here. I got to take the Texans in this one. They looked pretty good with C.J. Stroud back again last week. So the Colts with a big win over the Vegas Raiders and all the hype they were kind of getting recently. But I got to take the Texans on the road here against the Colts.
Yeah, this is a big game. Division implications. Jacksonville just stumbling to the finish line. And so, you know, the winner here, if Jacksonville were to lose, would take the division. And if, you know, Jacksonville were to win, the winner here would take a wild card spot. So very important game in Indy. But I'm going to take Houston, too, just simply for the fact I don't want Minshew in the playoffs. I can't stand him. So I'm going to go with Stroud and hope he gets in the playoffs. And that's I'm just doing it for my own personal enjoyment.
Speaking of mid, Baker Mayfield travels to Carolina. Disappointing loss for the Buccaneers last week. I'm really sick of talking about both of these teams 18 times a year because I really just don't bring anything to the table. But I got to take the Bucs in this one, Len.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bucs. Panthers have played better, you know, the last few weeks. So some signs from Bryce Young, at least, I'll say. But Tampa, yeah, I mean, just laid a complete egg against New Orleans. Just in time to win this one and still win the division and send the New Orleans packing anyway. Seems about fitting, so I'll take Tampa here as well.
Cleveland continues to roll. A team nobody wants to see in the playoffs, I would say, with rejuvenated Joe Flacco, the defense, all that. Cincinnati stuck up pretty well to the Chiefs. They were in it for a while. Jake Browning looked pretty good in the first half, but they couldn't quite get her across the finish line. I'm taking the Browns in this one, the Battle of Ohio.
Yeah, Bengals are officially eliminated. Browns are a team that, while they have a playoff spot locked up, they do need to keep playing their players because they're on a roll, and you need to go in hot with a team like this. So I like Cleveland here, and that makes us 4-for-4 picking road winners so far, Mike.
That's okay. Sometimes, you know, the better team is the visiting team. So you just got to take them in confidence, right?
True.
Minnesota Vikings, Len. I really needed them to get me across the finish line in fantasy football. I thought it was a pretty good chance it was going to happen. And honest to God, it was one of the worst football games I've ever seen a contending team play in my entire life. And, of course, they lost by a mile. I've never, ever seen a team at home fighting for their playoff lives play as bad as that Minnesota team did. I'm really starting to question Kevin O'Connell at this point. Starting Jaren Hall in that game was the complete wrong decision. He looked awful. That team could not stop the run. I mean, it was just 5 yards, 6 yards, first down, eight, nine, 10-minute drives. It seemed like the Packers had the ball five times, and they scored every single time. Minnesota just could not get anything going. By the time they brought Mullins in the second half, it was just too late. And they're going to get stomped by Detroit on the road here.
Yeah, Minnesota might be a little bit generous at this point. The start of Jaren Hall just makes no sense whatsoever. Mullins had been fine. I mean, yeah, you're right. He did throw one of the worst passes you'll ever see the week before to cost him the game. But he's at least serviceable. And then when he came in at halftime, you and I were texting because you needed so many points for your fantasy championship. And I thought, well, you know what? Maybe. And they drove right down. He hit Jefferson a few times. Chandler had a couple of nice runs. And you're like, oh, maybe Mike's in this still. But then, like you said, they barely ever touched the ball again after that moment. So it's just a team that's mid as could be, probably worse. I don't know what they'll do with the quarterback going forward. Will Cousins come back? Will they go in another direction? It's hard to say. But one thing I know for sure is I'm happy to never have to fucking talk about this team again this year for sure. Lions still fighting for possibility of the 2 seed, so they have to play this to win, and I think they will, and they'll win quite easily.
Yeah, and of course, the Lions kind of reeling from that screw job in Dallas that they suffered there in that game, which was just gross. The NFL just...
a comedy of errors at the end of that game by both the refs and the Lions. Their coaching staff, their players, the refs. I mean, the whole thing.
Yeah, it's
like a fucking... just a clown show.
I mean, we talked about this. I mean, if you're going for the win, my first play to draw up wouldn't be a pass to a lineman. It's just a risky play for a guy who doesn't touch the ball that often. He had three defenders around him. I mean, he was open, but and then you get backed up and to still
have it worked. It worked.
That's great. I mean, that wouldn't be what I would go to, like for the Super Bowl. I wouldn't be throwing it to a lineman.
right.
But you know, Dan Campbell's got a serious set of cojones on him. That's for sure.
That's what he does.
And I thought for sure, okay, you know, they got backed up there on what was it, the penalty?
Now on the 7-yard line for
illegal touching was the penalty they ended up calling, touching. Right?
Controversy whether anybody who reported, who didn't report.
Just outlandish. Just in this NFL today, where so much money is on the line and you're shoving bets down people's throats all game, pregame, postgame, during the game, it's bet. Things have to get better on the officiating side, the review side. It's got to be more transparent. We just can't have these kind of just seems like every week there's just a new blunder from the officiating in some game that just makes you go, wow, how is this even still possible to have this happen? And like, it's just crazy.
The technology at this point has to be there where we can get some, like, someone had to hear who reported and who, you know what I mean? I mean, this whole thing is just a debacle, obviously, in all the ways. But regardless, it's in the past now. The Lions are still in a fine spot, but it did kind of screw them. Regardless, they need to win this game, and they will win this game.
Yeah, it reminds me of, what was it, the coin flip between, Steelers and the Lions many years ago, where they called heads, and it was actually said tails, and they called it heads, and just that whole thing messed up. And it's like, come on, people, like, this is basic communication. Like, should there not be some type of scoreboard graphic or something that shows you what players are eligible before the play even starts? Like, let's figure this out. Let's get some microchips, not only in our vaccines, Len, but in the footballs. How about that? Let's get Bill Gates to inject some microchips into those footballs so we know exactly when it crosses the line. It's not difficult. We could probably figure out something in my basement to make it work. I mean, come on. It's the 21st century here. There's too much riding on these games financially now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you watch Wimbledon or something like that, the fucking ball, I mean, instantly there's a graphic that shows if it's in or out. Instantly, like to a centimeter. Like, let's go. Let's just go ahead and like, do something better than what we got going on.
And get people watching these replays instantaneously. So you don't have to have a ref go over to a little iPad or whatever it is to watch it. Yeah. Have somebody up in the booth, New York, wherever. NHL does it in Toronto. There's a war room there. They look at everything. They see camera angles that they won't show you on TV and have someone figure it out before the ref even has a chance to make to the sidelines. Just call down to him and say, yeah, that's a touchdown. Let's go. Like, come on. Why does the ref need to go look? It's ridiculous. There's way too many fucking commercials in these games as it is. Have somebody sponsor whatever, the smoke, you know, I don't care what it is, the microchip, the Microsoft microchip. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's go. This is ridiculous. So the Lions are just going to beat down on the Minnesota Vikings, who, like you said, Len, mid is generous. That was the worst football game I've ever seen from a home team fighting for the playoffs in my life, and they should be ashamed of themselves. Jets, Patriots, this is gross. I'm going to take the Patriots at home.
Yeah, no one cares about this at all, but both teams keep winning games that you probably really don't want to win, and we're playing tough in games you really don't want to play tough in. The Patriots are trying to go down the draft, even though they should be trying to go up and up in the draft. But, you know, I mean, that's just the way they're built. They're going to play tough. I think they're at home. They're going to win, too, because the Jets stink. Both these teams stink, so I'm going to take the Patriots.
Atlanta and New Orleans, I feel like these teams have played 12 times this year, Len. We've done so many times. They play each other every other week. They have to. I'm going to take the Saints at home. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Saints at home as well, and the outside chance the Bucs lose, and I'll be right about at least one division because I'll pick the Saints to win that division. So I'm going to hold out hope that I can pull it off somehow. So.
Jacksonville, Tennessee, fuck the Titans. That's all I can say about this. Jacksonville, probably going to get Lawrence back, I would assume. He doesn't miss many
games. Like
he missed one last week, so I'm going to take the Jags.
Yeah, I'm going to take Jacksonville, too. You know, I've said it a couple weeks ago, they're just stumbling bad. Lawrence has had a bad year. There's just no getting around it. I'm a big Lawrence guy, as everyone knows. But there's no defending the way he's played this year. Too many turnovers. Not enough big plays, but they got the win with Beathard last week, and probably more of a style they should try to implement even with Lawrence in there. You know, ball control, conservative game management. There is an outside chance to get Christian Kirk back, which I think was the beginning of the downfall for them, because at that point they were pretty hot, and he gets hurt on that first play, and since then they haven't won a game, and Lawrence has looked even worse than he looked earlier in the year when he had sort of started to turn a corner, it seemed. Then Kirk goes down. Kirk's certainly his best weapon. You know, I'm going to take Jacksonville here too, but I don't feel great about it. But they, you know, I'm hoping they win this and just sew up that division so they can go into the playoffs and get pounded by the Browns.
Yeah, Tennessee is much better at home, but I got to go with Jacksonville. I think I've picked all these games first, Len, so we're going to come back to you here.
All right.
For your Seahawks at the Arizona Cardinals.
Seahawks at Cardinals. You know, Arizona's playing tough down the stretch here. They're a team like New England that should be losing these games. I don't care if they want to stay with Kyler or whatever they want to do. Nonetheless, they should be trying to get one of those top picks, even if it's for a trade chip or to add Marvin Harrison Jr., whatever the case may be. The Seahawks are exactly what the Seahawks are. They're going to just float around. They need to win this game and get a loss from the Packers, and they'll get in the playoffs, which would be a nightmare scenario. If they lose this game, they'd be eliminated. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Cardinals. I would like the Seahawks to be eliminated very much right now. I don't want to see them again in the playoffs. So I'm going to go ahead and take Arizona in this game.
I agree with you, actually. I'm going to take the Cardinals. Let me tell you something. Kyler Murray rolled in to the game last week in Philadelphia wearing, Len, did you see it?
I did. Said the kid, huh?
Yeah. Big time heel energy there from Kyler. I like it. Not a big fan of Kyler Murray coming in. But after that, buddy, I might be on board. That's a big time troll move right there by Kyler Murray wearing that jersey. A little bit outdated, Kyler.
Backed it up
with the win. I tell you what, Len. Pittsburgh might be taking a look at him if he becomes available. If he's a big Penguins fan, what do you say?
That actually fits the Steelers for sure. They just see that he's wearing that jersey, and then next thing you know, they're trading for him. I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
Double M season wearing that jersey. He'll be pushing for him big time in Pittsburgh. He'll be floating that name out there just for the clicks, for sure.
They'll be saying that they already offered the Cardinals TJ Watt for him, probably.
Yeah, tested IQ. What is it, 163, 164?
I don't fucking know. That guy's
Shout out to the super genius.
Toad troll. That's what he is.
Chicago at Green Bay, Len. I tell you what, if the Packers make it here, look out. They could be a team nobody wants to play. They looked awfully good in Minnesota, just running the ball. They got some young offensive weapons all across the board there, and they're still waiting to get back, and they lost some during the game. I think they lost Jaden Reed during the game too. Still waiting to get Christian Watson, Luke Musgrave back. Young, up-and-coming team. Look out for them. I'm taking them against the Bears at home.
Yeah, this is, like you said, this is the other game the Seahawks hinge on, so I'll be, you know, rooting for Green Bay as well. And Green Bay is one of my favorite teams coming into this year. I was real high on Jordan Love, and he has proved me right. There were some bumps in the road, but overall, you know, 30 touchdowns. I think he has maybe 11 interceptions, something like that. And like you said, one of the youngest, most talented offensive teams in the league on offense. They're just so young at every position. And I'll tell you, going into next year, I'm going to be all over Green Bay. Now, I don't play fantasy football, but I like to consult, and I'll be saying a lot of things about Watson, even though he's been a bust this year. But Musgrave, Reed, Wicks, Dobbs, all those guys, even Malik Heath, I think has some potential. They're really deep at the receiver position, and I think Jordan Love is showing that he looks like the real deal. So I'm going Green Bay here as well. Yeah. Although I will say, this is no walkover. The Bears are playing really well right now.
They are.
And Justin Fields looks like maybe he's cemented himself in there to stay there, whereas they would probably now be looking for suitors to trade that number one overall pick they have from Carolina.
They got some choices to make, that's for sure. If we saw this from Fields for a bit last year, and then we didn't see it this year, and another injury, and just like Jordan Love kind of had a little bump in the road in midseason. People were starting to give up on him again after some initial success, and now he looks the part. And who's that? Bo Melton for Green Bay. I mean, just guys making plays across the board, stepping up and a defense that was much maligned, really coming in, played really well against the Minnesota team. So things are looking up in Green Bay for sure. Young team starting to come together. KC and the Chargers, Len. Give me that winner.
I'll take Kansas City. I don't know what the deal is there with who they're going to play and who they're not going to play or anything. I'm not sure if they're locked into a 3 seed or if it can move around. I don't know. But nonetheless, they need to build some momentum going into the playoffs, so I would think they're going to play their guys. I'm not even sure that it matters because their receivers suck anyway. And, you know, it's all on Mahomes and him simply carrying this team to any playoff wins they get. That's what's going to happen. He's going to carry them on his back.
Yeah.
The Chargers have Easton Stick in there, obviously, and he's shown some signs here and there, but more negative than positive. He's obviously not the future or anything like that. The Chargers are toast. They're done. They need to lose this game, improve their playoff spot, or draft slot as much as possible. So I'll take Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City's going to barbecue the Chargers in this one, Len. And the Chiefs are going to win in spite of their aging, poor offense. They're going to need to hit on some high, talented draft picks here in a couple years to stay relevant with that Mahomes contract. Kind of being a big elephant, not really an elephant in the room, but you're paying a quarterback that much, you got to make some sacrifices somewhere else on the roster in terms of payroll, and they're going to have to find some young players to complement Mahomes if they want to keep.
Yeah, I think they'll probably improve the receiver somehow through free agency, even with some, you know, mid guys that would help them. I mean, this year they totally whiffed on not getting Hopkins in there and letting him go to Tennessee. I mean, Hopkins was a reasonably priced veteran that would have totally changed this team to me.
Yeah,
wide receiver.
And
he was there for the taking, so there will be guys like that. You know what I mean? There will be receivers out there you can get that with Mahomes will be fine. They thought they could do it with all these bum youth guys, and these guys just aren't the answer. Rice is good though.
Yeah, Rice is looking good, but yeah, they're gonna have to. They'll get guys, I'm sure, wanting to play for him on the low.
Yeah, just definitely
a chance to win. So not sounding the alarms there yet in KC, but they're definitely not playing their best football right now. But we already talked about the narrative. You know, that's likely to play out in the AFC. They're still going to be one of the teams to beat. Denver, Len, Sean Payton, talked about it last week, did Russ kind of dirty there, but they did come out with the victory last week against the Chargers, and they're going into Vegas. I'm going to take the Raiders in this one, though.
Yeah, both these teams eliminated. I don't care really very much about this game at all. I will take the Raiders as well. I don't care.
Yeah. Philly, we keep saying they're going to bounce back. They visit the Giants. They just aren't bouncing back, really. Len. No. They're just not recovering. Do you take the Giants this one, Len? Upset?
No, I'm going to take Philly nonetheless. But, yeah, they're not bouncing back is true. Devontae Smith sprained his ankle. Looks like not too serious, but I'd assume they'll probably try to hold him out this week and so he's ready for the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, they've totally blown what they had as a chance at the one seed. Then they maybe blew the division, it seems like. And they've just, they're now they're just a wild card team. And the only good thing for them really is they're going to go to Tampa Bay and play a mid-ass Buccaneers team and Baker Mayfield, and they can probably hopefully get a win there and then see what happens.
Rams continue to look impressive. Niners, same. This would be a good playoff game. I got to take the Niners at home, though. Put a little speed bump in the Rams. They did lock up the playoff spot, but, man, we talked about last week. The Rams are probably a team you don't want to see in the playoffs.
Yeah, Rams are in. Niners are the one seed. So not a ton to play for either of these teams, although I agree the Rams are a team that needs to keep momentum on their side. So I think they'll be playing harder here while the Niners will be rest of the people, especially McCaffrey, who's already ruled out with a little bit of an injury. So I'm going to go Rams here, actually, in this game.
Dallas visits the Hogs. I got to take the boys in this one, Len, but if anything happens to CeeDee Lamb, this team is screwed.
Yeah, Cowboys win. Al got one more shot at redemption there after he was benched, and then Black Ben couldn't make it through the week without getting injured, but he dropped the ball again, literally and figuratively, by turning it over all over the place. And while midseason, and maybe even later, probably week 10, 11, I thought Howell had secured his spot as next year's starter for the Commanders and a potential starting quarterback going forward, that has stopped rapidly and has fallen completely off a cliff. And now I would be very surprised if he was starting for anyone next year. And that might be, it might be resigned to a life in the likes of Baker Mayfield, Gardner Minshew, Ryan Fitzpatrick, all those guys. He could be right. He could fight right in with those guys and probably win a game or two here for you if you need him off the bench, but you don't want him starting for your team.
No, yeah, that was kind of odd. I mean, he was leading the league in passing yards at one point, wasn't he? I mean,
I think it was week 10 or 11.
Yeah. I mean, that always doesn't tell the whole story. Obviously, it just means you're passing a lot. But, yeah, new coach is coming in, most likely. Riverboat Ron is out of here. Probably Bieniemy, too.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole new staff and probably looking for a different quarterback there in Washington, although it was weird to see how that ship kind of turned completely around.
Really went downhill.
Yeah, too many turnovers. Buffalo and Miami, Len. Miami got stomped by the Ravens. You talked about it. They lost Chubb, which is a huge loss for the team because they also lost Jalen Phillips as well earlier in the year. So their defense is taking a hit. Their defense is not too bad, but missing two big pieces now. And the tail for them continues to be, how do they stack up against really good teams? They beat Dallas at home the other week, but we don't know how serious Dallas actually is because Dallas can't beat good teams either. So it's Buffalo is kind of having a resurgence here, and they travel down south. We talked about this earlier in the year, Len. These games should be reversed. This game should be in Buffalo for a snow game. Dolphins, Bills this time of year, not in Miami.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's in Miami, and we got to pick a team here. So who you got, Len?
Well, yeah, and this one's interesting playoff-wise because this is for the AFC East division. Winner wins the division. However, if Buffalo loses, Pittsburgh and Jacksonville win, Buffalo's out completely. So this is actually very interesting here to me. We could be seeing the Bills, one of the hottest teams. If they slip up in this game, they might not make the playoffs at all, which is kind of crazy. Right now they're slotted in to play the Chiefs, which would be interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I'm actually pretty worried about Buffalo here, to be honest with you. So I'm going to take Miami to win this game at home. And, I think the Steelers will lose, which will keep the Bills in the playoffs. But I don't know, man. The Bills might be home for the playoffs. It could happen.
It could happen, for sure. Steelers can play a little bit of spoiler here. We'll see what Baltimore does, too. Maybe Baltimore does the old, maybe we should keep Buffalo out of the playoffs and let the Steelers win.
Exactly, yeah. That's true. They can easily pull the dogs off. Yeah. It's interesting here. I'm going to go Dolphins, but the Bills need this game.
All right, so I'm going to go to the Bills because we picked every other game the same. And we need a little variety here. So I'm going to go Buffalo on the road. They will pull through here. Miami, again, trouble with better teams. But, yeah, that's maybe not loser goes home, but loser takes the division or winner takes the division. So it's going to be an interesting one for the AFC East here. All right, Len. Yeah. Well, that's football. What about wrestling?
Well, before we get wrestling, real quick, though, I mean, we should probably say this is the last football game we're going to do, Who do you like to go to the Super Bowl, possibly win the Super Bowl, Mike? Yeah, but let's, we might as well just throw something out there, right?
You know, I like the Ravens to come out of the AFC, and I like the Niners out. Well, you know what? That just seems so lame. Two number one seeds. yeah, I'm going to stick with it. Two number one seeds, two best teams meet up again, and it's going to be the Ravens and the Niners. Screw it.
I'm with you, Mike. It does seem lame, and I hate to do it, but I'm going to do the same. I just think Baltimore and San Francisco are the two best teams, and it's kind of by a wide margin, in my opinion. Now, I would be worried, you know, Baltimore definitely needs to be worried about Kansas City and Buffalo, I would say, and maybe even Cleveland on the right day. While San Francisco, you know, Detroit, Philly, Dallas could give them a run. And I'll tell you what, if you get Green Bay in there, I think Green Bay is a team that could catch some guys off guard as well. So there's some
L.A. The Rams. The Rams would be my other pick, and how they do against San Fran might change the way I look at it. But we've seen San Francisco wipe Dallas off the face of the earth. We've seen them beat Philly pretty handily, right? Baltimore, same thing. They've beaten some of the best teams in the AFC. I mean, they've already kind of proven it. So I have to stick with those two. I mean, I just think Baltimore has seemingly endless depth. It seems like at a lot of positions, they got some young guys up and coming on defense.
Yeah.
Kind of rebuilding that squad on offense. Lamar is just playing at an MVP pace. And San Fran, again, depth. They're picking up more depth as the season goes on. They just signed, Sebastian Joseph Day to beef up that defensive line like it needed it. I mean, it seems like they have eight starting caliber players on that D line. And, of course, all the weapons on offense. And Purdy, who just sometimes looks infallible, except for that game against Baltimore. I'm taking the Ravens in the Super Bowl in a rematch over the Niners, is what I'm going to say. You're saying the same.
Same. I'm saying the exact same. Yeah, I'm with you there 100%. Yeah. Now, as far as wrestling goes, did you watch Day One Raw last night, Mike?
I did, Len.
Well, obviously, huge news coming out of Raw.
Jinder Mahal is back.
Jinder Mahal, they announced that a former WWE champion would be making his return, and sure enough, he did. Jinder Mahal, the modern-day Maharaja, made his appearance and just had that crowd eating out of the palm of his hand with racial stereotype type promo, the kind of the good old days.
Yep.
Nonetheless, there was a hero there to save the day, and he was another WWE champion. And he's the champion of the box office, and he's a champion of life. And it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson was back, and he did his whole shtick. Got one half of the arena chanting one thing, one half of the arena chanting another.
I don't like that, by the way.
And that's his thing. I'm not a huge fan either. He played the hits, as they say.
He played the hits.
But the moment, obviously, everyone's talking about on the internet and on the dirts and on everywhere else, is at the end when he asked this crowd, he's going out to eat, where should he sit? Should he sit at the bar? Should he sit in the booth? Or should he sit at the head of the table?
Huge.
Which obviously brought an enormous eruption from the crowd. And it looks like we're going there, Mike. We've been talking about this for 3 years. It looks like it's coming.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see Roman and The Rock. Rock doesn't do anything by mistake. He would never say that if that wasn't going to happen, I don't think.
No, right.
So, of course. You know, that's going to happen. Now, the question the dirts are speculating about today is it for WrestleMania or is it for Elimination Chamber in Perth, Australia because of how hard they're pushing these outside of the U.S. premium live events. Mm-hmm. So What do you think, Mike? Do you think it's WrestleMania, or do you think we're getting this at Elimination Chamber in Perth, Australia?
Well, the dirts seem to be heavily implying, right, that it's going to be in Perth at Elimination Chamber. 60,000 some seats they got to sell. Rumor has it the Perth government, we all know the Perth government, Len, they're willing to open up the pocketbooks. They have a lot of surplus. What do they use down there, Len?
What are their exports?
Not their exports. their currency. What is it? The euro or the?
Is it the? What's the Australian currency? Is it the?
It's French, right? No.
They have their own at one point, I think.
Aussie bucks.
I'm gonna look at this here. Just give me 1 minute. It might be the euro now, but it used to be something different.
Just the Australian dollar?
It is just called the Australian dollar.
Oh, yeah, AUD. The AUD. Yeah, that's lame.
Yeah.
Get your own thing, Australia.
That's pretty weak, I have to say. I thought it
was- normally, Len, I would say WrestleMania without question, right? I mean, it's The Rock. It's The Rock, it's Roman, it's what everyone's been waiting for at WrestleMania. But the elephant in the room is Cody Rhodes and finishing the story. And you can't have Punk Rollins one night, and you can't not have Cody in the main event fighting Roman to finish the story the second night, right? So where do you fit The Rock in? I think just based off that, logic would suggest it's going to be somewhere else, which the next logical thing would be the Elimination Chamber with all these fans. In a big event in Australia, the first event there in quite some time, right? But my gut tells me this can't be anything else but WrestleMania, and fuck Australia. And it just seems hard for me to believe that they would put The Rock back in the ring at 6 o'clock in the morning in the U.S.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's very odd here. This is working out very oddly to me, because while I know what they're saying and they want to sell the seats in Australia, and of course that would sell the seats in Australia and all those things, I think if you have The Rock commitment, it sort of has to be a WrestleMania. I mean, seems like it has to be a WrestleMania. Now, there's a couple options you could do here to get him both places, right? So consider this. What if you were to do something like Rock Reigns at Elimination Chamber, and much like all of Roman's defenses as of late, there's some involvement by the, Solo, Jimmy, whatever, which causes The Rock to lose the title there, or not lose the match there, I'm sorry. Then at WrestleMania, you have Cody, who had presumably, let's say, won the Royal Rumble, and he's going to challenge Roman at WrestleMania, let's say. And then The Rock, as the wrestling historian and, lover of the genre he is as a whole, if he were to offer up his help in Cody's corner for the WrestleMania title match to assure that there's no interference from the bloodline, and we get a straight one-on-one Reigns, Rhodes, and we get a clean finish. That way you get best of both worlds in the way that you get Rock at both things. Obviously, Rock's going to get involved physically somewhere along the line. That's one way to go about it. Now, I have no idea what The Rock's willingness to participate in this stuff is. The other option would be, what if they just did a number one contender at Elimination Chamber between Cody and The Rock? And you had, leading up to that point, Cody pissed off The Rock's trying to take his spot, trying to not let him end his story, and they have their little confrontation, and then you end up with Cody, Rock in Perth. You end up getting Roman, he's there in some capacity, but maybe doesn't even defend the title there. And then you get Cody, Rock at Perth, and then you get Rock winning that match to face Roman at Mania. So you get a little bit of both. Now, is he going to do two matches? I highly doubt that. Yeah. But that's thing I've thought about a little bit.
Right. Yeah, I don't think you're going to get two matches out of him, but I do think there's more story to be told here, and I would love it if they did something that kind of people aren't expecting, which is very possible. Yeah. And I think everyone's just kind of mapped it out in their head after last night and after the Dirts, you know, what they're saying, you know, like Rocket, Elimination Chamber, Australia tickets. They shouldn't have trouble selling out that stadium, regardless of the Rock's there or not, right?
Yeah, I agree.
So for him to push tickets, and then he's an American movie star, okay? So Americans are allowed to have this moment too. And you can't put him on at 6 o'clock in the morning, Len, because that's when it's going to happen, right? In the U.S.
I don't know what the time. Yeah, it's going to be difficult to pull off time wise. I agree.
So, I don't know, Len. I think this is a prime opportunity for WWE to swerve a little bit and maybe do something outside the box to make this all come together. It's just really hard for me to believe that The Rock would be anywhere else but WrestleMania. I mean, this is a WrestleMania moment, right? And also, I don't discount the possibility that the story, Cody's story, Len, might not finish until 2025. I mean,
I'm of the opinion, regardless of how it happens here, I think Roman's leaving WrestleMania as champion anyway. He has to get through SummerSlam to pass Hogan, yeah. And I think that's the goal for sure. So to me, I think regardless of what happens with these people, I think Reigns comes out on top, and the story's not getting finished regardless. That's another reason you could not have the match between Rhodes and Reigns and Mania, because he's not going to finish the story regardless, I don't think. So for him to lose again isn't the best, and then do that main event 3 years in a row or something. That seems odd.
Well, what's the story with the belt, Len? Is it the World Heavyweight Championship he's going after, or is it the WWE Championship?
For Rhodes, the story is Reigns' belt, is what he has said. That's the belt that has the lineage of the belt that his father
held. Okay, because the lineage is so messed up now, it's hard for me to keep track.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he has said. Okay. So I'm just going to take his word for it. I don't really know. But that's what he said. Okay. So. There's that. Anyway, day one was good, though. I mean, a lot of good stuff happened on there. Got a really good showing from Ivy Nile versus Rhea Ripley, which was nice to see her get a little rub there. Big win for Nia Jax over Becky. Did that surprise you, Mike?
It did. I didn't mind that. I mean, Nia should. I'd like to see those kind of upsets more often, and Nia should be able to beat Becky and Kayfabe.
Yeah, and kudos to Becky for just giving everybody their best match. I mean, she made Nia look really good in that match.
I like the blood.
And Nia's not the best worker. She looked fantastic in that match.
Good use of blood there. A little callback, of course, to the incident. R-Truth is the man.
R-Truth continues to deliver, obviously. Yeah. He's great.
The Miz is the man. I mean, that whole Miz thing is great.
Yeah. We got to see Rollins. I thought Rollins was dropping the title last night, to be honest. I thought that was going to be the loss, because him and Punk doesn't need the title either, in my opinion. So I actually thought we were coming out of there with a new champion. I'll be either McIntyre or Priest. I didn't know who, but I did think that Rollins would drop it there. When all that shenanigans happened with the briefcase and all that, I thought it was over. They did it. Unique finish there where, you know, McIntyre rolls him up too much and puts his foot into the ropes, which caused the break, which that leads to some more interesting stuff going on with McIntyre's character. So I'm interested in that. That worked out pretty well, I thought.
Yeah.
And, it was a good show. Tonight we got NXT New Year's Evil. Friday we got New Year's Revolution. So we got some good stuff coming up this week in WWE, but the biggest thing we got coming up this week, of course, Mike, is Saturday night, 7 p.m. at the Bellamaro in Reynoldsville, PA. Imagine Wrestling is back in the area. Well, I know we're excited. I've been looking at the card there. We're going to see some action from some of the regulars, and it's just exciting to have them back. I'm excited for the show.
Good meal at the T-Bird beforehand. Dirty Dango is going to be there. Fandango of WWE fame. Get down there to the Bellamaro. Imagine Insurrection is the show. No, it's not actually called Insurrection, is it?
It is January 6th. Insurrection is an unofficial name that we've given it. but it's not insurrection. So don't call it that publicly. But that's our own little inside joke for the January 6th show. But what I will say is, leading up to that, tomorrow night I'll be back on Connect FM radio for Under Review with our boy Dave Herzing and host Bob Anderson, and we'll be talking the 2023 in review sports, and also we'll have a guest by the name of Don Dawson coming in. Donnie Seifert will be coming in to talk about Imagine at the end of the show as well. So tune in to Connect FM tomorrow. You'll hear us talk about that. And tickets at the door are available. $15. You can't spend a better $15. I mean, you get in there, you get some wrestling action. You can buy beers or drinks at the bar if you want. There's food. There's, you know, just a fun time, family friendly. Everything's good. I can't recommend enough. Come meet the Living Room Champs. We'll be there, of course.
Absolutely. Yeah, get down to the Bellamaro. I've seen signs all over town. When I was out shopping for Christmas stuff, I've seen all the posters. So hopefully we get a good crowd down there. Can't wait to see all the guys eat some. I don't know if I'm going to get prime rib or not. Probably not, honestly, because I just had it. So
let's go filet. Go with the filet, Mike. You can't go wrong with a filet mignon, I'm telling you.
No, I know. That's good, too. Yeah. I mean, it's all good.
Yeah, there's other stuff there that's great, too. The Thunderbird is top-notch dining, so we'll hit that up. We'll hit the Bellamaro. That'll be a lot of fun. And then, you know, the end of football, so that means the beginning of the road to WrestleMania. Squared Sofa is going to get rolling here with some more frequent shows.
Yeah.
And and so we'll be here on a regular basis. We got to do our re-gimmicking show first, probably within the next couple weeks, I would say, Mike, right? The next couple weeks, we'll do that.
Yeah.
Preview the Royal Rumble. And then I was on the phone today, well, via text, with another member of the Living Room we have seldom seen, hasn't been seen in quite some time. John the Jobber was asking me about, can we get the TEC, can we get the Entertainment Center going back in 2024? I told him we can do that. We just got to figure out a plan with Mike, and we'll get it set up. And, preview some things we're looking forward to in 2024 on TV and film, and some stuff we've seen that we haven't talked about. We haven't seen John the Jobber in what? It's got to be... Oh, man, it's nearly a year at this point, right, Mike?
Yeah, I think it was Oscar time last year. I would love to talk some more shows now that I'm watching more shows again, and maybe we can dissect Reacher. I mean, I got to get caught up on Reacher, actually. But
yeah, get caught up.
We're all big fans of Reacher.
Yeah.
My wife watches a lot of weird things. I'm not going to lie. She's a lot of weird shows with real weird music in it. And
me too. Can we get her on the show? I mean, I'd like to have Jen on. Can we get her down in the living room or no?
I don't know if she'd be willing to come down in this pit or not, but we'll see. I mean, she's definitely watching some interesting things. It's very, honestly, disturbing things, it sounds like, with the type of music I'm hearing coming out of that living room. It's just very weird stuff. So I don't know what they're playing on Netflix nowadays, but it's all
well,
it's
there's weird. Always stuff on there for sure. Hey, did you watch, this is a Paramount Plus one that I watched recently. There's a movie, it was pretty good. Court Martial, the Kane Mutiny. Did you watch that on there with Kiefer Sutherland?
No, it sounds good though.
I recommend it. It's like a courtroom drama about like the Kane Mutiny, whatever, is like a naval ship, and Kiefer Sutherland was the captain of that ship, and there's some things that went on there. Some guy tried to I forget what the term is when they try to like overthrow them, but not overthrow them, but like take control because they're mentally not there.
Mutiny.
Yeah, mutiny, I guess maybe that's what it is. But anyway, check it out. It's on there. It's just a movie, like a couple hours, 2 hours long or whatever. And I really enjoyed it. I love a courtroom drama. I don't know how you feel about them, but it's worth watching.
I like Court Cam. You ever see Court Cam?
I've not really watched Court Cam, but I do know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like a good courtroom drama for sure. I like Kiefer too. I'll check that out.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I recommend it.
Yeah, so even though football, we'll see what happens. I know, like Lion said, we kind of get burnt out here. Our listens are down. I know people probably just get tired of hearing a lot of picks week after week after week, too. So we got to figure out a way to change it up. Maybe make some of these episodes last a little bit longer than a couple of days. Just, you know, we just need to re-gimmick ourselves a little bit. See, you have the best product possible. we talk something different other than football. I know for me, I get stressed with fantasy, and Steelers are obviously not easy to watch, and you just kind of get burnt out on football. It's bad officiating, just stupid shit, and all these commercials. It just kind of wears you down. A Seahawks fan, I'm sure you agree.
There's a lot going on. Like you said, it's long, plus it's over the holidays, so you're always trying to squeeze them in, you know, because obviously this isn't our first job, so we got other stuff going on. Then we got to try to squeeze these in sometimes. Don't probably put our best foot forward all the time, to be frank. And, the other thing is it's everything. It's fantasy. It's this, that. It's, you know, and it's just kind of repetitive. So we'll try to figure something out for next season. I will say kudos to you and B-Rod for the stairway, though, because – you know, that's something that people around here should be listening to heavily. You know what I mean? It's, you guys break down all the Steelers stuff real well. That's something that people in this area, I think if they got on board with it, really the numbers could climb a little bit, because it is something that, you know, Yinzers love to hear people bitch about the team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's perfect that way.
Like you said, Doomsday Danny Kane is a great Steelers historian and a football tactician, really. So it's
a good, really good job coming in. So if you guys go to a 3-man booth, that would be cool. Whatever you do, but I support that show strongly. And if you're doing that, there's not really need to break down every game. You know, most people want to hear about the Steelers. So you guys are breaking that down. I mean, you can do something else, or quite frankly, I can just stick to wrestling. I don't have to do anything football related, to be honest.
We definitely need to talk more wrestling. I'm more interested in talking about wrestling. It's honestly more honest than football sometimes, I feel like. It's more refreshing. It's more straightforward. Like, I don't know. Sometimes football just is really weird. Sometimes I wonder, Len, if these games are actually rigged in some way, because just weird shit happens every week. And quite honestly, like I said, I feel like the Falcons play the Saints or the Titans every other week, and these games just really aren't interested in talking about that much. And I'm sure everyone else out there could care less too, unless you got a bunch of money riding on them.
We got fantasy covered. If the Funkhouse was doing it, you guys got Steelers covered. I don't know that we need more football content necessarily. All that's for behind closed doors negotiations between all of us guys. We'll all get together, decide what we want to do. I could talk TV and movies every week. I could talk wrestling every week or every couple weeks. I don't have to talk football at all. Literally, it doesn't matter to me at all. I could also guest on any pod we want. You know what I mean? You know, I have opinions about everything. But, you know, frankly, my biggest loves in this world are pro wrestling and TV and food. That's it. I mean, football is probably fourth, or, you know, maybe even fifth. I love the NBA too. Who knows? But I can't talk about the Detroit Pistons when they just lost the NBA record 28 straight games. Nobody wants to hear that.
How is it? They really that bad? How do you lose that many games in a row in a professional sport, Len?
You know what's interesting about it, Mike? It's actually quite confounding to me, because while I don't think they're, you know, world beaters by any means, don't get me wrong, I think where their draft picks ended up, I actually think they've basically picked the right players the last 4 or 5 years. They haven't made any real huge mistakes in trades or free agency. They haven't lit the world on fire, but they haven't done anything that like sets your franchise back either. They hired Monty Williams as their coach this year, made him the highest paid coach in basketball, which was a question mark, but also he's very well respected and thought of around the league. So I figured with that, with Cade Cunningham coming back off the injury where he missed all of last year, basically, that they would be, bottom of the playoff mix, at least challenging for a play-in or something. But it's been an embarrassment. I mean, it's just been terrible. I watched a good portion of the games, and they just are just, you know, poor defensively, the worst defensive team in the league. They turn the ball over too much, and you don't watch a ton of NBA, but the league is built around shooting. You know what I mean? You have to have shooters. You have to have shooting. And they don't have any shooting surrounding Cade, who's a good facilitator, and he can get to the middle of the defense, but when he has no one to kick it to, so the shooting brings him down. And he's been great. I'm sure he's going to get a max offer this year from them, I would assume, and probably continue to try to build around them. But they just need to do something in a different direction. General manager, they're not going to get rid of the coach. Obviously, they just paid him an outrageous amount of money, so he's going nowhere. But they have to do something to shake this franchise up. Detroit deserves better. I've been a Pistons fan my whole life. I've seen three championships, so I'm excited. I can't complain about that. I've only had one Seahawks championship in my life and one White Sox championship in my life. So the three in Detroit, they're the most successful franchise I've followed. But since last February, they've won 5 games. I mean, it's fucking embarrassing. You know what I mean? There's no excuse for it. There just isn't. So, hey,
sometimes it's the darkest before the dawn, as they say.
That's true.
I don't watch a lot of basketball, but I did know that, I've never watched a lot of basketball, but I used to be somewhat of a Pitt Panther, a Jace fan when I'm an alumnus there and hung out at parties with, LaVance Fields and Carl Krauser. I used to do my laundry with Sam Young.
Glory days.
Yeah, Chevy Troutman. I mean, you name it, right? But I did see that Pitt has a player, Len, called Federico.
Yeah, I've seen him.
He's a big guy. He's a big, as they say.
Just out for you. Anytime you see somebody who has the same first name and last name, They're a big man. There's never been a guard, I don't think, that's ever had the same first name and last name. But there's plenty of guys. Bull for one.
Yeah.
Federico. Dwayne played at Syracuse many years ago. A lot of guys that have, normally African in descent, but they often have the same first and last name, and there's never really any guards that are like that. So it's kind of strange. It's always centers.
Yeah, I found that interesting. He's very long. Very long.
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah. So that's football. That's the football season. That's the 2023 NFL season. Len and I have both taken the Ravens over the Niners in the Super Bowl. Len definitely is going to win the title. It's mathematical assured at this point. He's 11 games up on me right now. We only picked one different this week, so I gave up trying to catch him because I would just dig myself a bigger hole. It's a very tough season, Len. It's a lot of surprises. Mostly, I think the best teams we thought that were going to be there are here. You got the Rams, surprise, Colts maybe, teams like that on the fringes. But really, I think the cream did rise at the top at the end, and we're going to have a good playoff here. And then look forward for more to come. It is 2024. It's the second, so we are into the new year, and you just expect more quality content in whatever form we decide to come from the living room. We'll be here, give you all the news, all the reviews, basketball, football, wrestling, shows, food, perhaps, maybe something different, Steelers, Stairway. We'll see. This is Mr. Just Right for Len Biggs. We're the Living Room Champs. Happy New Year, everybody. We're out of here.
Out.
LRC.